Church, if you have your Bibles, please open up with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And as you're turning there, have a few announcements to make. The weather's good today, so we can start our cornhole tournament. So that'll start afterwards. If you joined a team or would like to check and see if you can still join us. Well, after the service, after our volunteer meeting, just meet us out front of the school there. We'll have some cornhole boards set up, and we'll try to get you in the tournament. And you've come today on Spread the Gospel Sunday. We're talking about how a church is a team that works together to spread the gospel. And what is that video? Why are we playing a video that in October about our baptism this summer? Well, the reason why is because that's why we're here. That's what we're doing. That's why so many of you have given up a week every month to volunteer in the children's area. This summer we had the opportunity to baptize 7 students from our church. Many of them who've grown up here, some of them whom you've known since they've been born. And I want my kids to have that same experience. I want my kids to come to faith in Christ, to come on out into the water with their mom and a small group leader, be baptized. There's a lot of work that goes into those baptisms, right? I mean, that's a lot of volunteers who come up every week to set up those nursery gates so those kids don't crawl away. The relationships change lives, and commitment changes lives. And a church is a group of people who have committed to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ together. And things that are easy are rarely worth doing. And all of that takes a lot of work to get to that point. A lot of Sundays coming, volunteering, leading small groups. A lot of people who are sacrificing their time and their health by grabbing McDonald's on the way to church on Wednesdays after work so that they can minister to the youth there. And if you're going to spell ministry, you'd have to do it W-O-R-K. Because it's not easy. And easy things are rarely worth doing. And it's God's will for us to work, as we're going to take a look at in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. If you have your Bible, you can open up to that verse. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And some of us, we feel like our work is sent to us from Satan. It's hard, it's difficult, but the truth is that God always intended for us, always intended for people, for you, to use the gifts and abilities that he's given you to do something important and meaningful in life, to have responsibility, to make a difference. And our work is much more difficult because of sin and evil, but God always intended for us to work. And now that sin has entered the world, things are a lot more different, they're a lot more difficult, and our job got a lot bigger. As sin enters the world and people walk away from God, Jesus Christ comes to save us, and then he gives us new work to do. In Matthew chapter 28, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. And so our work has gotten a lot bigger. Gardening is a lot easier. A lot easier to work and keep the Garden of Eden, spritz some plants when it gets a little dry out, plant some tomatoes. Now Jesus has given us, the church, the job of going into all the world and reaching people with the message of Jesus Christ. And we've had a lot of baptisms in our church. We usually baptize about 10% of our average attendance every year, which is absolutely incredible, really. And if you've been baptized at Cornerstone Church, actually, can we just have people stand up? If you've been baptized at Cornerstone, could you stand up for me? Wow. Amen. I've been here for 7 years, and I've had the opportunity to baptize many of you. And it's just been awesome to be a part of what God is doing in this church. And one of the most simple ways to reach people for Jesus Christ is to just get to know people in your life, worship God yourself, and then invite them to come join you. That's our mission. That's our vision. Our vision as a church, how we're going to reach people for Christ, is that simple. It's go, invite, and grow. Go meet somebody. Get to know somebody. Invite them to a contemporary worship service and grow spiritually, primarily through small groups. And that takes work. That takes work. To have a worship service, you have a lot of people serving. You have a lot of people on the team committed to spread the gospel. And we are the Church of Jesus Christ, and we step forward to do the ministry of work, to worship the Lord, to have a worship service, to invite people to it. And we will have the type of church that we want to create. Isn't that great? God gives us that respect. He says, here is my son Jesus Christ. Now you guys follow him and you guys will create the type of church that you want. Right? If we want a church where when you walk in, you're greeted warmly, where people reach out to new people and get to know them, who's going to do that work? You. You're going to do that work. If we want a church that reaches young families, we're going to need people to set up the gates. We're going to need people to volunteer on Sundays in the small group. It's going to mean you're not going to get to be in here once a month and enjoy the service, but you're going to be out there working to spread the gospel. Who's going to do that work? You guys. If we want that, we're going to do it. If we want a church that meets throughout the week in small groups, who's going to do that work? Who's going to do that work of hosting a small group? Of getting people, of shepherding them, of hounding them, of getting them in, of reminding them we're meeting again this night. Who's going to do that work? It's you guys. We'll have the type of church that we want to create. And we can have any type of church that we want. And that takes work. It takes coming a little early on Sundays. It takes staying a little late. It takes a surprising amount of lifting. I'm always amazed at how much lifting is involved in ministry. Somebody had to lift all these speakers. Somebody had to lift that soundboard. And it takes a little bit of work, but God changes the world through his church. This entire church is built on the volunteers, starting with the people who unload the trailer, to the people who set up all of the equipment, to the people who lead a small group. And most people come to church looking for God to do something for them. And that's great. God is a generous God. God loves us dearly. God wants to do something in all of our lives. And we come to church with that desire. If you have your Bibles, you can flip to Mark chapter 10. Here some of Jesus' disciples have come to him with a question, with a request, with a desire. It says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Now they're very bold. They're very bold in their request. Whatever we ask, we want you to do that. And I think all Christians, all people, whether Christian or not, come to church with that request. God, I need you to do something for me. Otherwise, you wouldn't come. Otherwise, people wouldn't come. And that's great. That's a great entrance into the faith, a great entrance into Christianity. God does so many things for us, brings us peace, brings us joy, brings us provision, healing, all of these different things. And the request that people have is usually, if it compels them to get out of bed, and especially come to church sometimes when they've never been before, it's a deep need. It's a serious need. God, I need you. For whatever it is. God, I need you. I don't know how I'm going to get through them. I have no meaning and purpose. I have no desire to go on. God, I need you. God, you know, my family is splitting apart. I need you, God. And so many people come to church with that request. And most of you have probably come to church with that this morning. There's something on your heart that you want God to do for you. My marriage, my child, my parent, my job. God, I need you. Jesus' disciples come to him with that request, and Jesus hears them. He's been with them. He's been discipling them. Jesus is God. He can do anything he wants. He can give them anything he wants. He's been doing whatever that he would want to do for them in order to develop them as followers and disciples. And they want something else. They want something more than what Jesus has given them. And so they've come to him with a request. And again, Jesus is generous. God is generous. Jesus tells us to bring our requests to God like this. This is how generous God is. He says there's an unjust judge. And there's a woman in need. And she's being wronged. And she comes to the unjust judge. And he's unjust. So he doesn't bring justice to her. And he dismisses the case. And Jesus says this woman, she comes back and back and pesters and pesters and pesters until finally the unjust judge gives her what she wants and needs. And Jesus says, that's how we should approach God. If that unjust judge will help that person and give them what they need, how much more will God give us what we need? And so God is generous. Jesus is generous. Jesus tells us to let our requests be made known to God. He tells us to be a pest. He tells us to be persistent, to keep at it. But as these disciples come to Jesus with their request, Jesus redirects their attention. He sees something wrong in them that needs to change. And he says, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so there's something about following God, following Jesus, where we need to turn our focus. He tells us to bring our requests to him, to be persistent. But at some point, as we mature, we need to turn our focus from God serving us to us serving God. There's something about following God that God wants to transform us from people who receive ministry to being ministers. God wants to transform us from people who receive the ministry to people who create it for others. And for people who are spiritually mature, our faith is less about God doing things for us and more about what does God want me to do for him. It's less about God being obedient to my prayer requests and more about me being obedient to God and what he wants to do in my life. And if you're stuck in your faith, if you're like, I don't know where God is, I don't know where I've been going, I've been coming to church year after year, and I just don't feel any closer to God, I heard Jeremy's first sermon 7 years ago, and I'm sitting here 7 years later, and I feel like I'm in the same place. If that's you this morning, if you're stuck, then what's likely happening, what's quite possible, is that you're not hearing God because you're too busy bringing your requests to him. And you haven't stopped and thought about what God would want from me. You see, you think growing in your faith looks like this. And you keep saying, God, I want this. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. And you haven't stopped to say, hear what God says. Maybe he's saying, hey, here I am. Over here. I want you to do this. You see, if you want to be close to God, we have to follow him. We can't expect him to follow us. Growing in our faith is actually not that difficult. It's not rocket science. If we want to be close to God, we have to follow him. Jesus lets us know that we can bring our requests to him. He's a good and generous God, but a spiritually mature person is looking to do what God wants from them. A spiritually mature person brings their request to God for provision, but they don't stop there. A spiritually mature person then realizes the need to provide for others as well. A spiritually mature person doesn't pray to God, Lord, give me, give me, give me. A spiritually mature person steps out in faith and says, I'm going to give that someone else can be provided for. Spiritually mature people might be lonely and need relationship, and so they pray for that. God, bring me someone in my life who I can connect with, Lord. Bring me someone in my life who I can have a deep relationship in one way or another, friendship, whatever. But spiritually mature people don't just pray for that. They open themselves up to be that for someone else. I'm going to invite someone else to be a friend. I'm going to step out and do that for somebody else. A spiritually mature person just doesn't pray to God for their healing. But a spiritually mature person shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with their nurse. And this is unique. This is why we exist as a church. This is our mission. And this is very interesting. As I've been a pastor and looking into, you know, other churches and all these things. What does this church do? What does that church do? Our mission is really unique. Our mission is very unique because there's not many churches that actually have service as a part of their mission. But if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, we can't expect to be served. What we need to do is to serve others. If we're going to follow Jesus Christ, not serving is not an option. And so that's in our mission statement. Glorifying God by guiding people into a dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ and equipping them to serve. And that's not incredibly popular. Over the years, we've had people come and we've challenged them to serve, and they haven't liked that, and they've left. And you know what? That's fine. That's totally fine. And if you've been here for 7 years and you haven't found your place to serve at Cornerstone Church, you might want to consider going somewhere else. You might want to consider going to a different church that might disciple you in such a way that it leads you into following Jesus Christ. Because that is our mission as a church. It's to disciple you into following Jesus Christ. And if it's not working, then there might be another church out there that might inspire you to do that. And that's what we're all about. We're about transforming people who receive ministry into people who give ministry. And that's a tough challenge, and it's not a popular challenge. Glorifying God by guiding people into a dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ and equipping them to serve. It's a lot more popular to leave that last one out. It's a lot more popular not to say what I just said, but you know, our church isn't about filling these seats with people who just want to come and receive. Our church is about filling these seats with people who are open to being discipled, to following Jesus Christ. It's a lot more popular to set up a nice coffee shop in the foyer, right, and encourage people. You just come on in. We'll take your kids. You come on in. Here's your coffee. Why don't you sit down in this nice, comfy seat? It's all about you. It's all about you. Did you enjoy it? Did you like it? Do we need to put on more of a performance? A little more smoke, maybe some dancers for you. That's not what the church is. That's not the church. That is an outreach. And there's churches who do that, and that is important for the kingdom of God. We need to spread the gospel to people who are not willing to serve as well. We need to have people in our churches who are far from God so that we can bring them the gospel of Jesus. But at some point, to follow Jesus, we have to lay down the challenge. We have to lay down that challenge. It's time for you to start serving. It's time for you to start giving back. It's time for you to start taking ownership of spreading the gospel. That's what God has called you to, and you to, and you, and you, and you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the grave for our eternal life, for our salvation, and now, to follow him, he's given you the job of spreading that gospel. And it takes a team. Everyone has different gifts and skills. The church is not about being served. Church is about serving. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And our church is about Jesus. It's one of the reasons why we read through books of the Bible. It's not about what we want to hear from God about. It's what God wants to say to us. That's why we're reading through Genesis. That's why we're talking about this message. Because God has created us to work. And if you serve at Cornerstone, if you take that step, someone else is going to be baptized. So cool to see all those people stand up about who's been baptized at Cornerstone. And if you step up and serve, there's going to be more. There's going to be somebody who's not sitting in that chair right there who's going to stand up. There's going to be another person back there, maybe another person over there. And if you step up to take ownership of the gospel and follow Jesus Christ, you're going to see your work result in people coming to know the Lord. And everybody wants to be involved in something important in life. Everybody wants to have that meaning and purpose in life. And what could be greater than that? What purpose could be greater than that? Jesus' disciples, they come to him and they say, Jesus, serve me. And Jesus knows he's going to serve them. He doesn't grant the request that they ask. But Jesus knows he's going to serve them. He's going to be whipped and beaten like a criminal in their place for their sins. He's going to put himself in their place and go through what they deserve so that they can be forgiven of their sins, so that the punishment of their sins is taken. Jesus is going to give his life for them, but he's not giving them this one request. And spiritually mature people, as we bring our requests to God, we know it's less about getting that prayer request. And so many people get hung up on that prayer request that's never going to be answered until God returns. And they just make their faith about this thing. And God will give us everything we want, everything we need. If we're poor, he'll provide for us. If we're lonely, he'll bring people into our lives for a relationship with us until the day that he doesn't. And we either have to carry that burden until we die, or sin finally overtakes us and our body crumbles and we crumble to the ground and that prayer isn't answered and we're buried in the ground. But God is so generous that he'll raise us from the dead. He'll give us everything that we want and need. We don't have to worry about that. Disciples ask Jesus for this request, and Jesus instead tells them that they need to serve. And Jesus, being God, he knows all things. He knows what kind of service he's asking for them. All of the disciples died for their faith, except for one who they tried to kill and boil in hot oil, who's my personal favorite, John, because he lived after he got boiled in hot oil. And I'm sure the rest of his life was torture, and he spent the rest of his life exiled on an island until he died. Jesus knows what he's asking of these people. They've come to him, God help me, and he says, you guys instead need to focus on serving God. Jesus is going to serve them and give them everything that they want and need in eternal life, just like he served you and me. For any and all who put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have that same gift of salvation and eternal life, and now Jesus is turning to us and asking you to serve. And your life might be hard. I do, you know, so many times I do counseling with people, and it's just the first thing I hear is I hear all their problems as they tell me about what's going on, and I like to say, you know, it's good to know that you're just a normal person, because sometimes we don't realize that. The people around us, their lives are hard. Our lives are hard. Our marriage, our job, our kids. And we've been praying about that. And that's an important request. Jesus wants you to know that your faith needs to be more than about that. If you want to find him, grow in following him, and grow in serving him. Our God has been very good to us. He will not withhold good things from us. He asks us to serve him in return. And he asks the disciples to give their lives, and God has been very good to us. He's been very good to me. He's not asking us to be boiled in hot water. I stand no risk. We live in a country that's fantastic. I can stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and not worry about being crucified upside down next to my wife, who's also being crucified like Peter. Instead, God's asking us to make a new relationship in life. Reach out to a coworker who doesn't know the Lord. A neighbor. Get to know them. Invite them to church. Worship yourself. Help set up once a month. That's a light load God has given us. God has been very good to us. I thank God he's not asking me to be boiled in hot oil. And what is God asking from you? You've probably come to church with something on your mind about what you'd like to ask God to do for you, but instead ask the question, what can I do for his church? What can I do to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I think it's fun. I think it's fun. When my son was born, he's five now, when he was like 6 months or a year or something, we bought a bag of Hot Wheels cars from a JBF sale, used cars. And there's a lot of great ones in there, but you know what was his favorite? It was the two clunkiest, crustiest, oldest ones. And you know why? One of them was a tractor with a plow in the front, and the other one is a camper and with the roof broken off of it. And he loved these things. You know why? The tractor's got a hitch, and it can pull the trailer. And so he hitches them up and pulls them all around his floor. And I did the same thing when I was a kid. And now I get to do it for the Lord. Every Sunday I wake up, I hitch up the trailer on the truck. It's a ton of fun. I get to use my backup camera, my toys, and I bring the trailer in here. It's fun to serve the Lord. It's fun to do these things. It's fun to use the things that God has given you to serve the church. And I thank God that I'm not being pushed off the temple like Jesus' brother James, 40 stories to my death. I thank God that all I have to do is pull the trailer every week. Thank you, Lord. I want to be doing something great in my life. And sometimes we can get bogged down in the details because we're busy. Oh, I can't believe I have to come and set up those nursery gates early on Sundays. It's so difficult. We need to keep things in perspective. And our church is greater than the sum of our parts. You're not just setting up nursery gates. You're a part of creating a community that God works through and changes lives. And what could be greater than the mission that God has given his church? Ever since the church began 2,000 years ago, it's been relying on volunteers to come and do the work of spreading the gospel. And when you step forward and do that, you're taking part in that alongside all of those other people for the last 2,000 years who have done the same. And the church is not a tour bus where we come and we grab our coffee and we're showing around. The church is a Flintstones bus where believers in Jesus Christ pick up the sides and use their strength to move it forward. And how are you doing that? And what is God calling you to do for his church? God has created you to work and to work at something important. And what could be more important than this? Let's take a moment. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your message of salvation through Jesus. God, I thank you for the mercy that you've shown us and the great freedom you've shown us, that we're not persecuted for our faith. Lord, but we are free to serve. We are free to invite to church. We're free to spread the gospel. We face no physical harm. What a blessing, Lord. And God, as we get selfish and self-centered, and we just want people to serve us, Lord, I pray that you would help us to repent of that sin, help us to grow in faith in Jesus Christ, and commit to stepping forward to do something to serve others and to create ministry. Lord, you've given us your message of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd respond, or bless us that we can respond in faith to now take that and believe in it and serve others. And Lord, we pray for the gifts that we're going to receive this morning, the offering that we're going to collect. God, we thank you for how you've given to us. Lord, we pray you'd bless us as we give back to you. And we pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. At this time, our usher is going to come forward. If you're a guest here, we ask, instead of putting any money in the basket, we'd love to have your connection card with your email address. You can put that in the basket, or you can give it to me after the service. Because what we want far more than your money is we want you to connect here at Cornerstone Church and connect with God through Cornerstone Church. And after the baskets pass, please stand and join us in worship.